This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parr Mellis & Associates. I was working on finishing a client's tax return and reviewing some of their inventory figures. Super common thing to do to verify that we're not paying tax on inventory that we're sold at the end of the year. The issue started like most of these conversations do, and the client was thinking that the numbers were not making sense. However, when we started looking into a shop management system, we realized that they weren't going to help us much. But why? Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want to hear your question answered on here or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmellis.com. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your shop? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And last, but surely not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to recruit top talent for your shop, give Promotive a call. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news, you don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Almost all shops run two sets of books, but probably not like what you're thinking. Yeah, we've all heard the stories, and this kind of probably predates my time in the industry, of the classical shop owner walking around with a pocket full of cash because none of that cash actually hits a bank account or any sort of financial systems that we see. Flash forward to 2025, cash is almost illegal in some places. Seriously, I have clients that are getting, you know, fees for depositing cash, and realistically, cash is just not a large portion of most of my clients' payments or sales. That has led to what you would think would be increased accuracy in a shop management system. People are putting things through there, there's not payments that are missing it, and people are able to rely on that without question. Is that the case for your shop? Is that the case for most shops? And this is where we start to see some alarming things. When we're looking at our shop management software and we're looking at QuickBooks, these are the two sets of books that we really look at. I'm going to ask you the question, which one do you think is right? You as a business owner should be saying they're both right, Hunt, because they're speaking the same language. And that is the key of this episode and is exactly what we're going to talk about. Which one is right, which one is wrong is a trick question because they should not be different. QuickBooks is a financials of reflecting what's going on in your business. Your shop management system is also reporting those same figures from a sales perspective. Tell me why we should have any discrepancies. But then again, we wouldn't be having this episode if it wasn't a common issue and probably an issue that a lot of you guys are not aware of. The nice thing about having two sets of financial information or two sets of data for any business on it is it gives us a lot of tools when we have to track down an issue. We're going to have situations where accounts receivable or inventory or parts cost are different between QuickBooks and your shop management system, and you need to understand the differences to figure out why there is some. So if we go back to the question, which one is right and which one is wrong, you tell me. Your shop management system is what you think that you sold, and QuickBooks is what you actually paid out to people or received from customers on it. Which one is reality is probably different on what you're looking at here. If you want to say what's reality, what went out of the bank account, that's QuickBooks. And if you want to talk about what's reality, what went out of that shop, and what did I invoice, that's your shop management system. They shouldn't be different, but why do they happen, and what are the common cases that we see? When I was talking to my client and we were discussing his end of year inventory, I want to kind of be clear on some things, but obviously some of this is private. The general idea on here is both of us thought that this inventory figure that we were looking for was somewhere between $30,000 to $50,000. I've been a client probably about 10 years on it. His inventory does swing up and down, but like I said, for the last 9 years, it's been very close to in that range on it, maybe a little bit up, a little bit below. Now, we were starting to look at some things that were giving us some really wacky information. I said, you know what, timeout. Let me just pull your shop management system to see what's going on there. This client uses a unique shop management system, and you might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, why didn't you guys see this before? This is a little bit more of an antiquated piece of software, which is probably the crux of the issue of why this happened. We've always kind of gone off of his physical inventory count, and he always gives us these figures on it, and has kind of mentioned in the past, I'm not sure that my shop management system is 100% right. What I took that as is It thinks that I had 400 tires and I really had 410, but what we are about to find out is something much, much worse. XYZ client on it, just send me the inventory report. Let's see what that says on there. And if we still need to have some adjustments, we'll go from there. Sure enough, he sends me over the inventory report and immediately I knew that we had an issue and why. Well, you might be thinking, well, hun, you look at this stuff all the time. There must be some sort of innate sense that you have of these are not accurate information. Maybe the shop is not big enough. Maybe the shop is too small. No, guys, the inventory report said that he had negative $500,000 in inventory. Anyone that's listening to this episode, and probably most of your children, once they understand the idea of negative numbers, know immediately we have a massive issue. The thing that my client mentioned was accurate in one way and inaccurate in another way. His response to me was, yeah, hunt, I kind of figured it was bad, but I'm not that concerned about it because I have a really good handle on my inventory. That right there should be alarming to most, and maybe some of you are still confused. Well, this guy says he has a good handle on his inventory. How could someone have a good handle on an inventory when their inventory management system is not accurately reflecting what they're receiving, what they're selling, what they're returning, what they're getting credited for, what they're losing, and what's getting stolen? When he says he has a good handle on his inventory, that means that when he does a physical count four times a year, he feels very accurate that that inventory number is correct. But since this client is not tracking this and the inventory figures is not correct in the shop management system, that means that his end-of-day report and his parts cost is also not accurate. You might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, how can his parts cost not be accurate? Why does that have anything to do with inventory? If we still think that we have it in inventory, it means that we did not sell it. And if we think that we don't have it in inventory and we really do, that means that we think that we didn't sell it and we actually did. This could go both ways. Hunt, if he has a good control on it, he can still find those tires. He can still find that water pump. What is the issue? The issue is that we use these reports as a check and balance. When we look at your sales, we match it to your accounts receivable and make sure that that cash that you receive gets deposited. Great, right? Now, when we're looking at something like your parts or tire margin on it, we use actual cost. This is how much you sold. We're going to verify that you got the deposits. But when we look at cost, I'm not looking at what you think you paid. Let's measure this. Let's make sure we're actually paying our vendors what we think we are. This client had a lot of volume, and so we had had some of these discrepancies issues over the past, but this inventory really highlighted the crux of the issue. How are we going to ever try and chase down the discrepancy between what we think we're purchasing in QuickBooks and what we're purchasing in our management software when we know right off the bat that that shop management software is incorrect? Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, how can this person accurately run his business? How can he ensure that he is not having employees steal tires from him? How is he not ensuring that his vendors are inaccurately invoicing him for parts that he's not receiving? How can this client accurately confirm that he's getting his warranty credits, returns credits, and things of that? And the short answer on that is, even though this guy feels like he has a very good quote-unquote handle on his inventory, there is no way he can do any of those because he does not have the check and balance. These two sets of books, your shop management software and QuickBooks, are supposed to be able to chase down these issues fairly quickly. But in a case where it's not being set up correctly or not being managed correctly on this, you turn into creating more questions than answers. We wanted to use shop management software to give us some answers to a fairly simple question regarding QuickBooks and taxes. And what it led us to is even more confusion. And for my client, a big project. I don't know how to build a repair order, and to a large extent, I don't know how to go in and adjust individual inventory items in your shop management software because we don't generally touch the front end of your software. We're dealing with that stuff after the fact. However, after the fact, I can tell from your reports if you don't know either because they won't help me or my team at all. These are the common problems that I see. Like I said, the story that I wanted to lead off is, like usual, a bit of a hyperbole and a bit of an extreme situation. But what do these issues look like, or what if kind of issues do we see rearing up in shops that are a little bit more common and then sometimes a little bit more subtle as well, or smaller dollar amounts? Like I said, one of the biggest tools that my firm uses to compare is shop management software to QuickBooks. But if the shop management software is not right, then what are we comparing it to, or what are we confirming it to? We're going to start off with inventory. Inventory is probably the number one issue that you guys are having in your shop management system right now. And I'm going to really push on this to say, if your inventory is not 100% accurate, then it's just the same as my client before. Well, hon, it's pretty close. If you're not using it to an entirety and you can't trust that inventory number that you run out of your shop management software, then I would argue there's no point in using it at all. 90% accurate information is probably the most dangerous, because in a lot of cases, it looks like the real results, but in a lot of cases, you would have no idea if it's completely wrong. If you're going to use a shop management software, use it 100%. Don't use bits and pieces of this, because we're in a day and age where all this stuff is too interconnected. Yeah, maybe that individual line is not going to affect something else in your shop management software, but can you confirm it's not going to affect your accountant or someone on my team when we're trying to figure out an issue or highlight a problem? Do most of my clients' inventory numbers look like this? No, because we're looking at most of these on a monthly basis. And immediately, once we saw this go negative, we would have known that there was an issue. However, what is more common is we'll get an inventory report that could be, in some cases, 50, 100 pages long. And I see an inventory at the end, 225,353, that materially looks in line with what I'm expecting on that. Is there going to be any way for me to be able to go and confirm that those 30 tires, you know, combined value of 15,000, actually are no longer there? No. And these are the kind of subtle differences that are probably going on in your books that could be costing you money. I'll give you a great example, or something that you can go back with. If you have $15,000 worth of tires that is still sitting in your inventory in your shop management software, which means that your accountant is going to verify that it's still going to be sitting in your inventory on your financials, that means that you missed $15,000 in expenses. That $15,000 shouldn't be in inventory and should be in your cost of goods sold. You might be saying, well, hon, that's 90% right. My inventory was very close. Well, that 90% accuracy probably cost you around $5,000 in taxes or lost you around $5,000 in missed tax savings. This stuff is big. Also, again, put that into dollars and cents. Imagine if I went to you and said, you might have $15,000 walk out your back door. You would yell and scream and say, my bookkeeper would never do that. Yeah, of course, because you're overseeing them. You're verifying this stuff. Why aren't you doing the same for your tires, your inventory? This stuff you pay good money for, you pay real money for. It is your sole business. We need to have a handle on all of it. Adjusting inventory, keeping your inventory module accurate is probably what you expected me to say. It is the number one issue in shop management software. Some shop management software's inventory module is much better than others. Also, a lot of you guys feel like that you do not have a material level of inventory. I'm talking about guys $200,000, $300,000. Most of you guys are actually pretty good at tracking your inventory. You know who the worst ones are? My guys that have $5,000, $10,000, you know, fluid and filters. Oh, hon, I don't have inventory. I have fluid and filters. Great. Perfect. Your shop management software should still say the same. Some of you guys that might be guilty of this, where you're not good at tracking that inventory because you don't quote unquote keep that. If you only have $8,000 in inventory and you pull up your shop management software and it says -2, -2, -12, -15, whatever it is, it's wrong. And it's just as wrong as having it hundreds of thousands of dollars off. Get the stuff accurate, because I will guarantee it's not going to cost you money, and it could very well end up saving you a good bit. You guys get it, hon. I'm going to go and update my inventory. I'm going to figure out how to update my inventory. I'm going to call my shop management software because I've been putting this off. You need to do it, and you also need to stay on top of it. Inventory corrections are a one-time thing. Training your front counter and the rest of your team to do this stuff correctly is really what you need to be looking at. Once you do one inventory correction, if your team is using the shop management software correctly, you never should have to do an inventory adjustment again. Why? Because if you returned it, it should be marked in inventory. If you sold it, it should be marked in inventory. There's not really any situation where you'd say, that just should be removed from inventory. What do we do with it? And if I am removing it, I want a reason why. Some of these ones we're going to talk about are simpler than others, and some of these are probably going to have some intricacies depending on what shop management software you're using. When there is kind of slight differences here, I will try to mention it. But again, like always, I want you guys to understand the ideas, not specifically try to translate this into, Hunt, how do I do this on what XYZ report in Tekmetric or Shopware or whatever?
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive. On the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit GoPromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
Behind inventory, the next biggest one that we see the most and probably causes the most issues on it is accounts receivable. Well, hon, I don't really do any accounts receivable. Well, your shop management software should say the same thing. If you don't do any accounts receivable, I should be able to pull up your accounts receivable aging and show that people owe you $0. What ends up happening a lot, and this is especially for new clients that we get, is people do not feel like the accounts receivable is important. If you are a cash basis taxpayer, your cash basis financials, you are only paying tax on what actually gets deposited in your bank. And a lot of times I know that because I see it in your shop management system. Your accounts receivable shows $300,000, $500,000 because the way that you were doing your financials in the past is it didn't matter. If it doesn't go into bank account, I'm not going to get penalized for it and I'm not going to pay taxes on it. Where this gets highlighted immediately is when we take on a new client, we always do our books on an accrual basis. If this is what you think that you sold, we're going to then reconcile the cash to make sure that that's what you received. If you have duplicates, if you have write-offs that are still stuck in accounts receivable, it almost works out exactly the same as having overstated inventory. If your accounts receivable are overstated by $15,000, just like inventory, it's probably costing you $5,000. You're paying tax on sales or money that you're never going to collect or is a duplicate or an error. Looking at this periodically, making sure that the customers on there are either accurate customers and we're getting money from them, or again, if we're not going to collect on this money, let's write it off so we make sure that we're not paying taxes on this stuff. Where this starts to get a little bit wonky on here is you might pull up that report and you say, well, Hunt, I got negative numbers on my accounts receivable report, and I know that this is wrong. Well, you got to slow down a little bit on the accounts receivable. The only reason I mentioned this is I've talked about this before, and this is the first question I got back. Can I have negatives on my accounts receivable? Yes. It's not super common on it, but I do see negative accounts receivable. If you have customers that make deposits on your jobs, let's say I have a customer that came in and gave me a $3,000 deposit. Some shop management system would look at that as a customer deposit separately. A lot of shop management system would just look at it like that we owe that customer $3,000. Inventory is a bit simpler. We can do a quick spot check on that to look. And if we see a negative, it's wrong. We know we have an issue. Accounts receivable should be much smaller. And you're going to probably have to do a little bit more work to verify this stuff. Again, though, just like inventory, if you fix your accounts receivable once and you have processes and procedures and your team follows those processes and procedures, there should be no reason to have to adjust this significantly anytime again in the future. What am I saying? I know you have a big project on it. Rip off the Band-Aid, get it cleaned up, talk to your shop management system if there's a way that you can do it faster. But guys, really, this is important and I really, really strongly encourage this stuff. These last three that I'm going to go down through are not necessarily ones that I see people making mistakes on, which they definitely are, but also some ways that you could maybe be using your shop management system to a little bit more of its potential. Payment types. Well, Hunt, what do you have? Some sort of magical payment type that I've never heard of? Maybe. In payment types, we can use that in a similar way that we use for discounts. We can also use payment types to reflect bad debts. We can use payment types to reflect internal shop vehicles or even some owner's vehicle as well. When we are doing shop vehicles or if we're doing an owner vehicle on this, we still probably want to record the sale. Like we're talking about before, any part, any sale that's going down through there, whether I'm paying or someone else is paying, I want it to look exactly the same. Like we were just talking about a minute ago though, well, Hunt, if I have an invoice for myself that runs down through there, I don't want to pay my own invoices and that's just going to sit in accounts receivable. Well, what we're going to do here is we're going to set up another payment type called shop vehicles, called internal vehicles, called loaner cars, called tow trucks, depending on what you're trying to do with this. And when we have that internal vehicle go through, we can now use that payment type In a lot of shop management systems, they have an other payment type you can set up. In a lot of those, we just set these up as an other credit card and we name it something very, very obvious. The way that it works for this now allows us to have process and procedures for all jobs, even non-paid work. If you want to talk about how do I do this warranty work, how do I actually write this off, I've done whole episodes on it. We're not going to kind of get into it today. But the big thing on this is, guys, if you're saying, well, I got these non-payment, I have this barter work I want to track, I have this kind of advertising partnership with another business where I just write off their work, use these payment types. It could be very cool. You want to track warranty where you screwed it up versus warranty where it's parts failure? A lot of people set up two different payment types for that. One word of warning on this stuff, and I kind of do the same thing on profit first. I don't want to see 50 different payment types. Neither do you. There should be at most probably 5, and that's still probably too much. Because again, you might have different situations, but think to yourself, if I call these situations differently, would I look at them in a different light? And if the answer is yes, then track it separately. If it's not, keep it simple. No reason to make your financials or your shop management system more complicated than it needs to be. The next one on here is, and I think this might be a Mitchell name on it, but category profit summary. Profit, parts profit by vendor type, parts profit by subcategory. Essentially, what we're trying to say here is we're looking at the end of day report, the business summary report, and we see that we made parts margin of 50%. This category profit summary report, this part sales by vendor, it's called a number of different names depending on what the shop management system is, but it's essentially a way for us to say, all right, our overall parts margin was 50%. If I want to improve that, I want to analyze this, we probably have some subcategories that I'm doing very well on and probably some subcategories that I'm not. The most common situation that I use this on is something like this. The client probably doesn't have 50% parts margin because we're probably not diving into it that much. But the last time I used this, the client had like 35% parts margin. They were shocked to hear this because they were shooting for 50%. And from being on the counter, my client was like, I feel like most of the tickets that I create are as such. What we did in this is we went down and we took a look at his category profit summary. And I was able to look, this one actually gave us labor in parts, is that almost every single subcategory that he was doing, and sure enough, his parts margin was like 55, almost 60%. Unfortunately, there was one category where his parts margin was almost negative. Some of you might be able to guess what that was, but that category was oil changes. What this allowed my client and myself to do is take a look at this and again, set our expectations. You would like to increase your parts margin as an overall whole. We've now analyzed your business and realized that pretty much every sector of what you're doing, your parts margin is very good and arguably is going to be very hard to increase it that much. What my client is left with is really a big decision. Do I actually want to increase my overall parts margin, which probably means raising my oil change pricing, or do I need to look at this a little bit differently and not beat myself up too much? There is a lot of businesses out there that can run consistently with a very good profit at 35% parts margin. Is your business one of them? Maybe, maybe not, but using these reports can kind of unpack some of these oversimplified numbers into more usable subcategories. The last one on here is just kind of a catch-all, and it's can jobs. Hunt, what is a can job? And a can job is whatever you define it as, but the way that I look at it is these are prepackaged items that sometimes don't get looked at very often. Some of you guys might be saying, well, Hunt, I don't prepackage anything. Other of you are saying, well, Hunt, pretty much everything that we sell is packaged as a maintenance package, brake package, suspension package, whatever, you name it. Have you looked at them lately is my biggest question. The reason I say this is some shop management system, when you increase your labor rate, it actually increases your can jobs. Also, depending on how you have those can jobs set up, sometimes increases in rates, margin are not going to have any effect on can jobs. This one kind of segues right back into the category profit summary, because a lot of times when you look at a category profit summary, you can analyze this issue. Our parts margin is kind of creeping down the last couple months, but I feel like just like Hunt's client, most of the tickets I'm seeing are pretty darn good. And I've seen this in the past where people go down through and look at it and say, it's my AC service. My AC is the one I'm getting killed on. And they realize that package AC service hasn't been updated for 5 years. You are trusting this system. You are trusting the software implicitly. And a lot of times blindly on this, verify this stuff. If you think you have $5,000 in inventory, it better say that. If you think you don't have any AR, it better say that. And if you think that you're making good money on your canned jobs, it better say that as well. None of this is going on in your shop or your shop management software. Great, but you should really be looking at this frequently because it might not be the same story in 3 months, 1 year, etc. You wouldn't ever use a portion of your scan tool or your alignment machine, so why do you feel comfortable doing the same thing with your shop management system? Use all of your tools to their fullest extent and correctly, and you will have a business that you'll be proud of. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thank you for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening apps. Thanks for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.